Billed as the fastest way to cross the surface of the Earth, Hyperloop represents the greatest leap in transport infrastructure for generations. With passengers sitting in pods that travel at airline speed through pressurized tubes, using electric propulsion and magnetic levitation, the concept promises to slash journey times between major cities from several hours to a matter of minutes.
Everybody, my name is Shauna, and this is the American English Podcast. My goal here is to teach you the English spoken in the United States through common expressions, pronunciation tips, and interesting cultural snippets or stories. I hope to keep this fun, useful, and interesting. Let's do it. Hi, everyone. How's it going? In that introduction, you heard a British man, it sounds like, speaking about the Hyperloop. And the Hyperloop is a very new sort of, crazy fast form of transportation that is in development. And we're going to talk about it in today's episode. But first, if you'd like to check out that link to the video, I'll post the link within the transcript. It's called Hyperloop Explained. And it actually contains a lot of the same information I'm going to talk about today, of course, in British English. So listen to this one first and then head over there and see if you can understand his accent. So before we get to the topic of the day, we'll be discussing the expression in the loop and out of the loop. So stay tuned. We'll also do a joke and some pronunciation exercises. So let's begin with that joke. So a rope walks into a bar and the bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve ropes here." The rope walks back outside, messes up his hair, and walks back in. The bartender says, "Hey, I thought I told you we don't serve ropes here. Are you a rope?" And the rope responds, "I'm afraid not." So do you get it? First of all, a rope is a very strong cord, made up of very strong fibers. When you think of an image of a cowboy, they have a rope in their hand, they're swinging it over their head to lasso animals or to lasso things, like to capture them with the rope, right? A knot is something that you can tie with a rope or a string, and that's spelled K-N-O-T. When my brother was in Boy Scouts, he learned how to tie many knots. A lot of times when you are wearing shoes and you don't want your shoelaces to come undone, you might tie your laces in a knot, okay? So when a knot is frayed, it means that those fibers have come apart. It is unraveled. So to explain the joke, a frayed knot means maybe a knot, right? This rope that's tied has come undone or unraveled. I'm afraid so, or I'm afraid not is a really common way to say, I'm sorry, but yes, or I'm sorry, but no. So do you have time to go to the movies today? I'm afraid not, right? Which means I'm sorry, but no. So let's go ahead and go through that joke one more time. So a rope walks into a bar and the bartender says, "Sorry, we don't serve ropes here." The rope walks outside, messes up his hair, and walks back in. The bartender says, "Hey, I thought I told you we don't serve ropes here. Are you a rope?" And the rope responds, "I'm afraid not." Okay. All right. So on to today's expression, in the loop. I'd like to give you the definition of each individual word first. In is a preposition that means you're inside of something, right? You're in the process or you're within it. I'm in a hurry means I'm in the middle of a hurry, like I'm in the process of it. The is a definitive article. I live in the blue house, not the yellow one, right? So it's a specific house. And loop, a loop is a circle or can also be a process in which the end touches the beginning. Right. So to be in the loop means to be informed about something. We often say, "Keep me in the loop," which means keep me informed or keep me in the know. Like, let me be aware of what's going on. We can also say, stay in the loop, remain informed, or continue being informed. You may also hear people say they feel out of the loop, meaning they feel uninformed. So when I say, I'm sorry, I'm completely out of the loop, it means, hey, I'm just out of it. I do not know what's going on. So let's go through some examples of this. And I'm going to use examples for in the loop and out of the loop because they essentially are just antonyms. So example number one. So a few weeks ago, I went to a wedding and the bride was a friend of mine from high school. She invited a lot of people from high school, including some people I hadn't seen in like 10 or 12 years since we graduated. So that's when I realized how completely out of the loop I am, how absolutely unaware or out of touch I am with the people who I went to high school with. I'm not aware of what anyone is doing. I saw an old friend, Andrew. He said he'd spent the last 5 years in China. And I said, oh, whoa, what did you do there? Sorry, I'm out of the loop. I'm uninformed. Example number two. Recently, my closest friend in Northern California told me she plans on moving to Boca Raton, which is a city in Florida where kind of the rich and famous New Yorkers retire. So she has a government job and still doesn't know if they'll accept her application to transfer her. So I don't know if her plans are 100% or 80% or 50%. So I told her to keep me in the loop about her plans, which means I want her to keep me informed just in case she decides to move on a moment's notice. Example number three, imagine that a WhatsApp group started a few weeks ago to plan a surprise party for a friend. The problem is you just heard about the WhatsApp group and feel entirely out of the loop. You feel very uninformed and left out. You might say, hey, I'd like to be kept in the loop. I'd like to remain informed. So let's go ahead and do a listen and repeat exercise so that you can practice your pronunciation. We'll do the sentence, keep me in the loop, right? So keep me informed. Repeat after me. Keep. Keep me. Keep me in. Keep me in the. Keep me in the loop. Keep me in the loop. Keep me in the loop. All right, now let's go through the conjugation. I kept us in the loop. You kept us in the loop. He kept us in the loop. She kept us in the loop. We kept us in the loop. They kept us in the loop. It kept us in the loop. On to the topic of the Hyperloop. Imagine if you could travel at the speed of light. Where would you guys go? And what would you do? I'd probably drop everything I'm doing and zip on over to Northern Italy to go hiking in Muran for the day. I'd spend the day in the mountains, looking at the vast green valleys and vineyards. I'd maybe even top off the day with a nice glass of local wine. So it's all very nice to dream about, right? But it's not very realistic. We can't travel at the speed of light. So how can we travel? What modes of transportation do we have? Planes, trains, automobiles? Yeah, so if you stop and think about it, these are the fundamental modes of transportation that we use today, but they were all invented over 100 years ago. So what's new and innovative in the transportation industry? So some people might say self-driving cars. Yes, but at the end of the day, they're still cars. High-speed trains. Yes, but they're still trains. So what about the Hyperloop? Have you heard of it? If not, it's totally worth learning about, and that's what I intend to do in this topic of the day. So let's talk about what the Hyperloop is, how it works, and figure out what sort of progress has been made up until today. So what is the Hyperloop? The Hyperloop is a new, extremely fast mode of transportation, kind of like an airplane in terms of speed, and kind of like a train in that it travels along a guided path near the ground. But it's entirely different. As a passenger in the Hyperloop, you get inside of a small cylindrical room called a pod. There might be 25 to 40 other passengers in the pod with you. And while in motion, the pod, right, this room that you are in will float. In other words, it will levitate. You and your fellow passengers will be in a room hovering above the ground. And meanwhile, the pod will be traveling up to 720 miles per hour or 1,200 kilometers per hour inside of a tube. So if you have never heard about the Hyperloop before, you may be thinking, how in the world is this possible? A giant physical object can't float. There's no way. What about gravity? Before we talk about gravity, let's go back to the basics. In order to move an object really quickly, we need to consider what slows an object down: air resistance and friction. In order for the Hyperloop to travel at such incredible speeds, they need to get rid of both of these things. Air resistance is probably fairly explanatory, right? If I jump out of a plane with a parachute, I don't just fall and splat on the ground. The parachute, right, this giant umbrella that you can open when you're skydiving, for example, will allow my fall to happen gradually so that I move in a slow pace back to the Earth's surface. And that's because there is air resistance, right? So the air flows up into the parachute and allows you to fall slowly. So in order to get rid of air resistance inside of this Hyperloop's tube, in which this pod floats, inside of the tube needs vacuums. So vacuums are installed inside and they suck the air out, making the environment similar to that of space, or, you know, 200,000 miles up in the sky. So as a result, as the pod travels, it encounters very little air resistance. Friction, on the other hand, is essentially ground resistance or object resistance in general. So this is why when I'm wearing socks, I can slide across my kitchen floor that's made of wood, but I can't slide down the sidewalk on the street, right? The ground inside of my house is very smooth. There's very little resistance. The ground outside, however, is rougher. It creates more friction or more resistance. I don't know how Michael Jackson, when he moonwalked, had so little resistance. Maybe he had very slippery shoes, or he just danced on very slippery floors. I don't know. Anyway, so how can the Hyperloop push itself off the ground without touching the ground? Magnets. So you know magnets. So these goofy souvenirs you get when you're on vacation that you put on your fridge to show where you've been. So the last time you've tried to push two magnets together, what happened? My guess is they were probably either attracted to each other or they repelled one another. So repelled, as you see here, is the antonym of attract. So that's exactly how the Hyperloop works. This pod has permanent magnets on the bottom that repel it from the track or push it away from the track. And this is called magnetic levitation. It's a simple idea that has been used in monorail systems for years. Other magnets are placed sporadically along the track so that the pod can be pulled downwards as well. That ensures that the pod maintains its speed. So pretty cool, right? A magnetic levitating high-speed train. Sounds very cool. So in theory, it should be about 2 to 3 times faster than a high-speed train, which is very fast, right? So the original idea of the Hyperloop didn't have magnets at all. Let's hear about how this idea developed and then the progress that has been made with it. Elon Musk, the California-based entrepreneur and billionaire, who is the CEO of SpaceX and Tesla, and also the co-founder of PayPal, is often credited for coming up with the idea of the Hyperloop. So his initial designs for how it would work, though, they were not entirely original. His original designs used air compression to reduce friction on the tracks, not magnets like today's most successful prototypes of the Hyperloop. This method of air compression was tried and tested by the British engineer Isambard Kingdom Brunel to transport carriages back in the 1800s. As for the vacuum, Robert Goddard, an American engineer, proposed a similar idea for a train that could travel in a vacuum back in 1909. Musk's designs were built on these concepts, but they were fresh and with some alterations. Plus, he actually took the time to work out the costs. He said that to build a Hyperloop from San Francisco to LA, it would cost around $6 billion. Fortunately, a patent was never placed on the Hyperloop. Musk didn't want to keep this Hyperloop idea to himself. He wanted to see it come to life. So his idea of the, $6 million Hyperloop never ended up coming to fruition. He never took advances to make that happen. He opened it up to others. So since 2016, he's hosted feasibility competitions judged by SpaceX engineers, where many student and non-student groups create prototypes for the Hyperloop. So he's pulling from these great minds at universities, which I love, and getting their knowledge to make the Hyperloop idea better. So just last year, a student group from the Technical University of Munich managed to get their, what they call the war prototype, up to 290 miles per hour, which is insane. That's 463.5 kilometers per hour. So I have to mention UCSB also. I'm proud to say that they were literally able to get their project off the ground. They were the only team in last year's competition who was able to get their pod to levitate. So go UCSB! So by having this project open source, brilliant minds from all around the world have come together to make this thing come to fruition. However, there's more to it than just making it happen. In Musk's eyes, the only way the Hyperloop is worth it is if it is better than traveling by a car, and even better than traveling by airplane. So the Hyperloop needs to be more cost efficient and more time efficient. It also needs to be more energy efficient. So what if it could run on solar panels? And most of all, comfortable and safe for the passengers. So geez, that's a lot of stuff to consider, right? So how are the companies doing? Although many companies have popped up around the world, there have been a few companies that seem to be leading in terms of developmental achievements. Hyperloop One is one of them. It's partnered with Virgin, Virgin Airlines, and it has earned over $295 million to date and has a test track in the north of Las Vegas in Nevada. Also, there's Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, which has earned $108 million to date, which was the last posted information I could find about their earnings. And they have a test track in Toulouse, France. Both the Hyperloop One and the Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, which we'll call HTT, have had successful feasibility tests, meaning that they have tested their technology, they've tested their Hyperloop trains or pods and inside of these tubes, and they've functioned. Hyperloop One plans to be in full operation by the mid-2020s, according to their FAQ page. And it looks like some of the first locations will be in India and in Abu Dhabi, connecting Abu Dhabi with Dubai, among a lot of other locations that they have planned. It's worth checking out their website to look at them. All of these potential locations are listed on the Global Challenge page. HTT, on the other hand, they plan on launching their first Hyperloop with passengers in 2020, and the first passengers will be on the train in Toulouse. After that, they plan on constructing the Great Lakes Hyperloop, which has already received $5 million in government funding, which will connect 27 million people surrounding the Great Lakes. So the first leg will be Cleveland to Chicago. Right, so it's very congested in that region, and so we'll kind of take people off of the roads and put them inside of this Hyperloop. So let's go to the fundamentals of this. I had some really serious questions when I started researching. One of them being, well, who's going to pay for this? Right? Are these companies able to pay off new rails and new pods, all of the technology needed for this, including employees' salaries, with the venture capital? In other words, with the investment funds that they've received? Hardly, actually, from my research. Musk originally projected that the cost for the Hyperloop, including materials and the purchasing of land to be around $11.5 million per mile. So according to Vox, not Fox, right? That V there, V-O-X. As of 2016, Hyperloop One reevaluated the costs and claimed they needed between $84 million and $121 million per mile. So I'm far from being a mathematician, but they only earned $295 million in funding. And if a mile costs $84 to $121 million per mile, then we could probably travel about 3 miles. So in order to make this happen, they need to have what they call a partner ecosystem. On Hyperloop One's website, it says, "Our business model is based on partnerships that create local jobs and opportunities for those who choose to invest in this technology." So we can kind of see this in different ways. I know that Hyperloop One reached out to the government in Spain, and they were able to come to an agreement to open up kind of a research center in Andalusia in exchange for giving jobs to Spaniards that live in that region. HTT is also doing similar things. So both HTT and Hyperloop One have had successful feasibility tests, collaborated with governments around the world, set up locations in Europe, in Spain and France, in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, and have made agreements to develop in Asia, so far in China and South Korea. If you go to their websites, you'll see it's like they're scurrying around the globe to get partners. So what do you think about the Hyperloop? Does it seem like a great idea? I mean, in effect, it will leave a smaller carbon footprint if it's feasible, if it's possible. It will make the roads a lot less congested, so there will be a lot less traffic. But would you want to be a passenger on this? I mean, what would it be like? I can see from pictures online that the pod is pretty compact. So if you're claustrophobic, I don't know if this would be up your alley. A lot of these websites claim it's going to feel like you're not really moving, like you're in an elevator or you're on an airplane. In effect, though, if you could travel such distances in such a short period of time, for example, 12 minutes from Dubai to Abu Dhabi, 30 minutes from LA to Las Vegas, or 30 minutes from LA to San Francisco, when normally it takes about 6 hours in a car. It sounds pretty good, right? Where would you go? Would you live somewhere else? Would you have a different job? How would your life change? It's really weird to think about, right? So I hope you enjoyed the talk about the Hyperloop. If you'd like to stay in the loop about new podcast episodes, you can sign up for premium content and have full access to all of the transcripts, comprehension quizzes, and so much more. Just visit AmericanEnglishPodcast.com. Talk to you soon. Bye.